Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Nun Aleph. We continue to learn for the safety of all of those in Eretz Yisrael who are putting their lives on the line for us. Be'ezus Hashem, they should be successful in their jobs, in their tasks, to go and free the hostages, to keep Eretz Yisrael safe. They should be safe themselves. They should be Be'ezus Hashem. All those in need of refuah shleima should have one. Hashem should protect our holy chayalim and kochos habitachon. And Be'ezus Hashem, bring back all the hostages, b'mheira, all safe and sound. I'm dictating this shir on Zos Chanukah, on the last day of Chanukah. Again, we've said many times, Sha'asa Nisim La'avoseinu Bayomim Mehim Bazman Hazeh, let Hashem continue in this time period to give us Nisim V'niflos, and Shalom, and peace, and comfort in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, in yesterday's shir, towards the end of the shir, on the bottom of Nun Amud Beis, we had a story about an ox that fell into an irrigation ditch. By definition, that's 6 tefach deep and 6 tefachim wide. And the owner shechted the animal right away when he should have waited 24 hours to see if the animal really was not a trefa. And Rav Nachman therefore said that this animal could not be eaten. It was a trefa. Now, the problem was that this animal fell into a ditch that was only 6 tefachim wide. And that's the question that we're asking now again on Rav Nachman. Pick up in the Gemara, 3 lines down from the top, Nun Aleph Nun Aleph with Eisvei. We bring down the following Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which tells us that the Beis HaSkila, that's the house where they would Nebuch go, and somebody who was Chayv Mises Skila, there would be Mises based in that they would throw him off a roof. Skila wasn't stoning him with rocks, they would throw him off a roof. And this Beis HaSkila, Hayogavoa Shtei Komus, it was twice the height of a person. A person has approximately a height of 3 Amos. And therefore, twice that would be 6 amos. That is somewhere in the area of 12 to 18 feet. And then the person is standing up. That's an additional elevation. And they push him off this roof. And that is the misa known as skila. Now, it says that the Beis HaSkila was twice the height of a person. And it says further there in a brisa, v'toni Allah, a brisa discussing that Mishnah says, v'koma shalo hare kan shalosh, and the person's height when he is standing up is an additional 3 amos. So therefore, we are pushing him really from a height. His head is falling from a height that is 3 times 3 amos above the ground, 9 amos above the ground. Now, if you're telling us that an animal is a trefa, if it falls just into a ditch that's 6 tefachim, that's 1 amma, and we're assuming that animals and humans have roughly the same dinim in this regard, in terms of that level of a fall being capable of killing, so then, that even less than 10 tefachim, as Rav Nachman said, even 6 tefachim, the ox fell from the height outside of this irrigation ditch into the irrigation ditch, and that's only 6 tefachim. So then, why is the Beis HaSkila 9 amos when 1 amma would be sufficient? Lomeli kulei hai. That's what the Gemara is questioning Rav Nachman. So Gemara says that's not much of a question. Utaimech, according to you, so then navid asara. You're saying that 6 tefachim is too small, so make it 10 tefachim. So why is the Beis HaSkila 9 amos essentially? The 2 times the height of the person, that's 6 amos, and then the additional height of the person, another 3 amos. So why would it be 9 amos? It should be sufficient to just have it. It's 10 tefachim. So you have the same problem as we do. Why is it more than 10 tefachim? So Elik Rav Nachman, it must be that the following opinion of Rav Nachman explains everything. Another opinion that Rav Nachman said, the Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Rav Nachman said in the Rabba Baravua, that the Torah tells us, Amar Krov Yahaf Lurecha Kamocha, the famous pasuk that tells us that one should treat their fellow man like they would treat themselves. You should love your fellow man like you love yourself. So in other words, we have this famous idea of Bror Lo Misa Yofa. This guy is Chayav Mises Beisdin. So when we have to give somebody the 4 types of Mises Beisdin, we always try to do it in the optimal fashion, in the way that will kill them in the quickest and the simplest and the most humane way. So therefore, when you push the person off a height of only 10 tefachim, so it may kill him, but it's going to be a slow death and it's going to be very painful. So therefore, we push him off this rooftop that is 2 times the height of a person. That would be, again, 2 times 3 amos, so it's 6 amos above the ground. And then the person standing up on that is an additional, and this way when he falls down, when they push him off, it will be a swift and relatively painless death, and therefore, Bror Lo Misa Yofa. Moore says, then why not do it more than the 2 times the person's height? Instead of doing it from a platform that's 6 amas high, do it from one that's 60 amas high. And this way, he'll die even much more humanely. Ihochi nak bo tvei. Why stop at this twice the coma of the person? Do it 10 times the coma of the person. Push him off the Empire State Building. So Gemara says, Mishum de Minava. Because in that situation, Nebuch, when the person does hit the ground, it's going to cause his body to become dismembered. And therefore, that would not be a proper covered for the body. And therefore, this, so to say, two komas height of the person is the optimal height to go and commit the mitzvahs based in of skila, because it will kill him as humanely as possible without Nebuch causing a nevel of the mace. Okay, so therefore, Rav Nachman is still good with his idea that six tefachim has the potential to kill, but the reason why we take a higher position than that for Mises Basin is, again, Barolo Misi Yofen. Whereas still questions Rav Nachman, Esri, another brisa that says, the Pasuk tells us that when you build a house, you have to make a maka around it. You have to put up a fence around it. Ki yipol hanofel mimenu, in order to make sure that you don't have lo samim domim b'nei secha, you shouldn't have blood in your house. The Pasuk says that ki sivne bay is chodesh or sisa maka legagecha, v'lo sasim domim b'nei secha. You don't want there to be blood shed in your house because you didn't have a fence around an elevated area. So, ki yipol hanofel mimenu, a person could fall from it. So therefore, the Pasuk is darshan, ki yipol hanofel mimenu, it says mimenu, below besocho. This comes to teach us the interesting scenario that you have to fall from the roof into the Rishasarabim, but not fall from the Rishasarabim into a house rooftop that is lower than the Rishasarabim. And that's what the Gemara is not going to tell us. Ketzad, how do we fulfill this pasuk? Mimenu below besocho. So, ha'iso Rishasarabim gavoa, mimenu asar tvachim. Let's say the Rishasarabim was higher than the house by 10 tvachim. And the nofel mitocho, you fall from the Rishus HaRabim down into a house that's in some sort of like a depression in the ground, some sort of a hole in the ground, and that's where the house is. So you fall from the Rishus HaRabim on top of the rooftop of this house. So then that's not Mimenu. That would be Bisocho. And therefore, Potter, in that situation, there technically is no obligation to put a maka around that area. Because the din of maka is specifically when you're falling from the rooftop onto the Rishus HaRabim. Not when you're going from the Rishus HaRabim falling into a pit that has a house in it that has a rooftop on top of that that you're falling on. Amuka mimenu asar tvachim. But if the house is more than 10 tvachim above the ground, and therefore you're falling from the rooftop onto the Rishus HaRabim, v'nofo mitocho lisocha, you're falling from the rooftop onto the Rishus HaRabim, that is the area where the Torah tells us to prevent this from happening, keep all and don't fail mimenu. So that is mimenu. In that situation, you have an obligation to put up a marker. Now, here's the question of Rav Nachman. You, Rav Nachman, said that the ox was a treifa, even though it only fell six tvachim. So then, the din should be lomali asara. Why does the Torah tell us that you have to have a maka only if it is 10 tvachim above the ground? It should be if it's just six tvachim above the ground, you should also require a maka because that could still be a fatal blow. That chavata could be enough to have misa, ki yipol hanofel mimenu, and cause them to die. So therefore, you should have to put up a maka, not if it's 10 tvachim, but even if it's six tvachim. That would be the opinion according to Rav Nachman, but that's not the din. So it's the kasha on Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman would answer Amalei. He would say, no, shiny bayis. The house is different. The kol pachos me'asara lav bayisu. Because the din is that if something doesn't have 10 tvachim, it's not called a house. And the din of maka is bedavka in a house. It says kisiv ne'bayis chadash. And if it's less than 10 tvachim, it won't have the status of a house. And that's why the din of maka doesn't apply. Now, Gemara says, if that's true, ihachi, so then hashdanami, the have me abroya sara. So wait a second. If you look at it from the outside, it is 10 tvachim. The roof is exactly 10 tvachim above the ground. But then you have to take into account the roof itself. So damine tikra, you have to subtract the actual width of the roof, umaziva, and any additional plaster that's on the roof. So the roof from the outside is 10 tvachim above the ground. But when you deduct the, let's say, a tefach of the roof wood and the plaster, so now the inside, it's only 9 tvachim. Migavai lo have a yesara, and therefore it shouldn't be called a house in that situation. So again, the kasha returns. So Amalei, so we're not going to respond to that. He says, no, kigon dechok migavai. You're right, there's only 9 tvachim if it was flat with the level of the Rishus HaRabim. But the inside of the house is dug out another tefach. So you actually have 10 tvachim inside the house. Albeit, if you're looking at the total height, it's 1 tefach below ground level, 9 tefach above ground level. Then you have the rooftop, the tikra, and the maziva. And then if you're looking at it from the outside, it's 10 tefachim to the ground level. And therefore, it's called the house because the inside has 10 tefachim. And from the outside to the ground, it's also 10 tefachim. And therefore, that's why the din is 10 tefachim. So Gemara says, if that's so, ihachi, ki lo havi nami me'abroya asara, Mishkachas lo dehevi migavaya sara. If that's the situation, so then even if the house isn't 10 tefachim from the rooftop to the Rishus HaRabim, but if you dig out deeper into the inside of the house, it still could be 10 tefachim. So let's say, for argument's sake, from the rooftop to the ground, it's only 8 tefachim. But then you dig out at least an additional 2 tefachim inside, so the inside would have 10 tefachim, and it's called a house. Why shouldn't you then need a makkah in that situation? So, according to Rav Nachman, you should need to have a makkah there, but because it's a significant amount to kill somebody if it's 6 tefachim. But according to the din, you don't need it because you don't have, in this situation, the 10 tefachim on the outside. So Gemara says, you're right. So therefore, we have to re-understand Rav Nachman. And therefore, Elohainu time of the Rav Nachman. This is the understanding of Rav Nachman. Why, when the cow fell 6 tefachim into the irrigation ditch, do we say that that makes it into a treif according to Rav Nachman? So the answer is, Rav Nachman holds, Sovar mikreisa the Torah, Liara kamahave. The animal stands up on its legs from the bottom ground up to the belly as the animal standing on all four. So that's an additional 4 tefachim. And therefore, you take those 4 tefachim plus the 6 tefachim of the irrigation ditch, that adds up to the 10 tefachim. The animal, therefore, is falling from its head 10 tefachim into the ground. And therefore, you have the arba of the distance from the ground up to the belly of the animal. And then you have arisa, the daloi, the irrigation dish, kamahave, how deep is that? Shisa. We said it's 6 wide, 6 tefachim wide, and 6 tefachim deep. And therefore, 6 plus 4, hasara. Therefore, that's 10. And therefore, ishtekach, the chikon mechade. Therefore, when the ox's head actually hits the bottom of the irrigation ditch, it is going to be a 10 tefachim distance. And therefore, Rav Nachman is consistent with the idea that if it's less than 10 tefachim, it won't cause misa. It has to be 10 tefachim or more to have the potential to cause misa. That's what happened over here. This ox that fell in had the potential to be a treifa, to be an animal that would die, and therefore you had to wait for it to see if it survives for 24 hours before you shecht it if you want it not to be a treifa. Since the owner shechted it right away, that's why Rav Nachman said it's a treifa. One last question. The Gemara says, Elamas Nisan, but our Mishnah, the Ketani, which taught in our Mishnah, Mar Bar Shehu Kidei Lohamis Asara Tvachim, Av Kol Sheesh Bo Kidei Lohamis Asara Tvachim. So our Mishnah had said that you need 10 tefachim, and in every situation you need 10 tefachim, but here, B'shisa Nami Sagya, we see that for the ox, 6 tefachim plus the 4 tefachim from the ground up to the belly of the ox would be fine. So why did our Mishnah say 10 tefachim? Sometimes it's 6 tefachim. So one says, you're right. Arme, masnisin the ingadendar lebor. Our Mishnah is talking about that it needs to be 10 tefachim when they're talking about an ox that would roll into, not from its upright standing on its all four legs position, but it was lying down and it rolled into the pit. In that situation, the head is right directly on ground level. So if it's going to be a fall that could kill the ox, it has to then be at least 10 tefachim deep, because it's not standing up on its legs. We're talking about the ingander libar. It rolled into the bar, and therefore that's why we need 10 tefachim in our Mishnah. Okay, next Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, bar shel shnei shutvin. If you have a bar that's owned by two people, over alav rishon, the first person went by, v'lo chiso, and he didn't cover up the bar. Vasheni then comes by, and also v'lo chiso. So the Mishnah tells us, Hasheni Chayav. That's the Girsa that we have. The second person is liable because the first person, while he didn't cover it up, but there was still an opportunity for the second person to cover it up. So the second person is the one that ultimately caused the damage. Now, the Gemara will explain why this is so, but there is another Girsa over here. If you look in Oz Gimel, in the Masoros HaShas, he brings down that the Girsa of the Rif and the Rambam over here is Harishon Chayav. Now, the understanding of the Rif and the Rambam is that when it says Harishon Chayev, it means also the Rishon is Chayev. Both of them are actually going to be Chayev. Because in this situation, why is one more responsible than the other? Each one could have covered it up. Neither one did cover it up. So in this situation, both are Chayev. According to the Gersa that we have, that only Hasheni Chayev, so that's going to be explained by the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to talk about is that they both were using this bar. It was a bar that was filled with water. It was a cistern that everybody was using to drink from, these two people. And when the first person finished, he basically gave it over to the second person who was still using this bar for water, and therefore that's why the first person is Potter and the second person is Chayev. So whether the Gersa is Harishon also Chayev, or the Gersa is just Hasheni Chayim, both of them really are the basic same din, because they're both talking about different circumstances. If you have a different gears over here, Harishon also Chayim, or just Hasheni Chayim. Now, the Gemara starts off and says, how can you have a bar that's owned by two people in the Rishus HaRabim? The Rishus HaRabim is owned by the Rabim. So how can two people just own this bar? So the Gemara starts off and asks, Amrei, bar shel shnei shutvim, hechi mishkach etzla. How could you possibly have a bar that belongs to two shutvim in the Rishus HaRabim? So, if you hold Hanicha, now remember from yesterday's shiur, we had a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, and we had two different ways to go and learn that machlokus. We had the way Rabba learned it, and we had the way the Rav Yosef learned it. Let's only learn today, remind ourselves the din of Rabba. Rabba had said that Kuli Amo Bor Bishus HaRabim is Chayim. That a bor in the Rishus HaRabim, Rabba held that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael hold that you're Chayim if the bor belongs in the Rishus HaRabim, if the bor is open in the Rishus HaRabim. And they only have a machlokes if the bar is in the Rishus HaYochid. It's opened up in the Rishus HaYochid. There, Rabbi Akiva says you're chayiv, and Rabbi Shmuel says you're potter. Now, within that shita of Rabba, the Gemara now says, ha nicha, it works out well, is svira lon ki Rabbi Akiva. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva again says that in the bar, Rishus HaYochid, you're chayiv, so this works out very, very well. What could happen over here? Mishkachas law, the case where they have the two shutvin over here, so it was b'chotzer shel shneim, originally both of them owned it in the Rishus HaYochid, u'bor shel shneim, they both owned the chotzer, and they both owned the bar, and then what happened? V'ifkiru Rishusim, they made their Rishus Hefker and allowed it to be a Rishus HaRabim, but v'lo hifkiru boran, but the bar is still theirs. So in this situation, we understand why Rabbi Akiva would say that you're chayiv. So that works out very well, Hanicha, if you hold like Rabbi Akiva. However, the Gemara says, Ela, e sfirulon bar bishus rishus potter. But if you hold like the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that says the bar bishus hayochid is potter, so then, hechi mishkachas lo de chayiv alei. So then, how come they would be chayiv in this situation? How would you ever have in this situation that if you own the bar that you would be chayiv? Rabbi Shmuel would say that you're always potter, according to Rabba's understanding of the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So therefore, one more time, Ela is your own bar rishus or potter. If you hold like Rabbi Shmuel that a bar in your own rishus is potter, so then hechem ishkas l'dechayvele. Then how would you ever find you're chayiv for such a bar? So it must be talking about Rishus HaRabim, because it can't be Rishus HaYochid or Rishmo, so it must be Rishus HaRabim. But wait a second, or Rishus HaRabim bar shoshei shnutin hechem ishkachsla. How do you have two people owning the Rishus HaRabim? It's owned by everybody. So therefore, it must be, you're telling me, either Shavu Shaliach, that these two owners assigned the Shaliach to go dig the bor on their behalf. So the Shavu Shaliach Tarvayu, both of them made this guy into the Shaliach, and they told him, Yamrile, Zil Kari Lon, go and dig for us a bor in the Rishus HaRabim, and that's how you can have these two Shutim digging a bor in the Rishus HaRabim, and this guy went, V'azal Koralu, he went and dug it for them. So then, wait a second, that's not called their bor, that's called the guy who dug its bor. The one who dug it, it's going to be his bor, because ain't shliach to dar avera. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to go and dig all in the Rishus HaRabim. So what happened over here? He went and did it, so he did the avera. You can't say that he's a shliach to dar avera. Ain't shliach to dar avera, the Gemara says. So if you have a person telling you to do something, and you have a Kodesh Baruch Hu telling you not to do that, so who do you listen to? Do you listen to the Talmud, or do you listen to the Rebbe? Of course you listen to the Rebbe. You listen to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you don't listen to a human being telling you to do an avera. So therefore, it can't be that the two people told him to dig it. What must it be then? The E, the Kara, Hai Chamisha, it must be that one of the two partners dug the first five Tvachim, and then Hai Chamisha, and the other partner dug the second five Tvachim, so then Nistalkulu Maitzerishon. So then the first person's action is considered gone. Nistalkulu Maitzerishon. It's gone by the action of the second person. So then why would they both be chayiv in this situation? So we're stuck. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Hanicha l'Rebbe v'l'Nizokin. We're going to have a machlokas in a moment that we're going to bring down between Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Nasi, and the Chachamim. So this question is a very good question if you understand the Gemara to be like Rebbe's opinion is, that there's a machlokas only in regards to Nezek, but there's no machlokas in regards to Misa. We'll see in a moment that that's talking about a situation where a person dug five Tvachim, and then the other person dug the other five Tvachim. So Rebbe's opinion is that the one who dug the second five Tvachim, he would be the one that would be responsible if the animal died. He would be responsible for Misa. But in regards to damages, they're both responsible. That's the opinion of the Rebbe. So Hanichal Rebbe Ulinizakim, it's very simple to understand how you could have two shutvim in this scenario, that they would share the responsibility. But that would be fine only for Nezek. Ella Lerebbe Lemisa, Rebbe says the second person is only chayev. And according to the Rabbanan say that if you have a first person digging five tochim and second person digging the next five tochim, both for Misa and Nezek, Rabbanan, Bela Misa, Bela Nezek, Hechem Ishmachasba, how would you ever find that the Shutvim would go and share the responsibility? As the Mishnah said, Bor Shal Shtei Shutvim, so they share the responsibility. So how could that ever be? So Rav Yochanan answers, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kigon Sha'akru Shneim Chulya Bevasachas Vishlimu Asara. So what you have over here is a bar that already is 9 tefachim. And these two men both simultaneously scoop out the bottom one tefach, and both simultaneously made this bar in the Rishus HaRabim, and that's how you can have the Shutvim over here of the bar in the Rishus HaRabim. Now the Gemara says, what was this machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan that we just alluded to? So this is a brisa, the Tanya. The brisa tells us, Echad chofer bor tisha. You have the first person going and digging 9 tvachim into the ground. And then the second person comes along, ubo acher vishlim le'asar. He goes and completes it to now have the 10 tvachim bor. And then, ha achron in that situation will be chayev. And this is the Chachamim's opinion. This will be whether it is dealing with Nezek, so only the second person has to pay the Nezek, or if it's dealing with the animal dying, only the second person has to go and compensate the owner of the animal that fell into this bar. Because he did that last tefach, he's the one that made it to be substantive, and therefore he pays both the Nezek and the Misa all by himself. The first person doesn't have to contribute anything. Only Ha'achron Chayav. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. But Rebbe disagrees. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi comes along and tells us, Achar Achron Lemisa. Yes, in regards to Misa, because the second one made it into Misa. The first one was only 9 tochim, that's not enough for Misa. But the Achar Shneim Lemizachim, but in regards to damages, so the 9 tochim contributed also to the damages, so therefore they split the damages between the two owners, between the two people that dug this bar. Now, what's the rationale behind each of their opinions? My time in the Rabban, what's the rationale for the Chum saying that both for the Misa and for the Nezek, only the last person is Chayev, because they base it on the pasuk that we brought down many, many times, Ki Yiftach Ishbor, O Chi Yichra Ishbor, the language of Ki Yiftach and Ki Yichra seem to be unnecessary. So, Im Al Psicha Chayev, if you're Chayev for just uncovering a bor, so certainly Al Kriya Lo Koshkin, so certainly you're going to be Chayev for digging a bor. So why does that the Torah tells both of them? So, Ella, Lahavi, Kora, Achas, Kora. That's to teach us this din according to the Chachamim, that the first guy dug 9 tefachim, and then another guy comes and digs 1 additional tefach, so it's only the one who dug the second time, the additional tefach, Shesilik Maserishon, that essentially eliminates the actions of the first person, and now it's all considered, both Nezek and Femisa, to be just the second person that's going to be Chayiv. No, what does Rebbe say to that? Sounds like a good taina. Rebbe Amalach, oh, I gave you this teretz yesterday. Hanu mitzrach tzriche. We learned in yesterday's shiur why we need both of these psukim. There's something about ki yiftach that wouldn't be in ki yichra, and there's something about ki yichra that wouldn't be in ki yiftach. I won't go over that gemara again, but we learned it yesterday. So each of them is needed, and therefore you can't learn out this drasha. No. If Rabbi can't learn it out, he needs the two psukim. So the Chachamim also need the two psukim. Rabbanan nami mitzvah tzricheh. So how can they use it over here to teach us that it's talking about the second person only chayev, al kriya of the second person yechayev, and not for the first person? Because lohavi kora achas kora shesilik maserishon. How can that be if you needed to teach us the drushes that Rabbi said we needed for? Shmuel says you're right. Therefore, Ella hainu time of the Rabbanan. This is the real reason of the Rabbanan, not because of ki yiftach ki yichra, but it's because amakro ki yichra ish bor, and ish means a single person. So the pasuk specifically says ki yiftach ish ki yichra ish, and therefore it means one person echad, and not below shnayim, and not two people. So that's where the Chachamim get it, that only the second person is going to be chayev both for nezek and for misa. Or it says nu, what would Rebbe say to that? The Rabbi, how in Baile, he says you need the word ish to teach us ki yichra ish bar vilo shar bar. This din is needed by Rabbi to teach us that this only is if a human being digs a pit, then there's a chiyuv of bar, then there's liability of bar. However, if an ox goes and digs something in the Rishus HaRabim, so then there is no din of bar. So that's why you need ki ish to teach us ish yichra and not a bar, not a shar yichra, vilo shar bar. Now, That's a very necessary drasha. Rabbanan, where did they learn it from? So they answer, Trei Ish Bar Ksive. It says over here, Ki Yiftach Ish, and then it says, Ki Yichre Ish. So it says it twice. So one is to teach us this din of Ki Yichre Ish Bar, below Shor Bar, and the other one is to tell us that Echad below Shnayim. Oh, so that's what the Chacham would do. No, that's a very good answer. What does Rebbe do? The Rebbe, he says, no. I did the cost of high, cost of high. Since it already says in one place, Yiftach Ishbar, so then it says, Oh, Chiyichre Ishbar. So it just, the parallelism uses the word again, but it's not a separate drush. Okay. Now the Gemara says, why are you telling me if it's one person that's chayiv, it's only the second person that's chayiv? Dumel Chiyuve Kama. Maybe the first person should be chayiv. The Gemara says, don't even think that. Lo Sol Kedaitach. Why not? Because the Pasuk says, the Yom HaKro, Vameis Yelo, that the shor falls into this bar, and it says, Baal Habor Yishalem in the next Pasuk. Kesef Yeshiv Levalov, Vameis Yelo. So therefore, it teaches us that he gets the mace. So who gets the mace? So the one who caused the Misa. The Yom HaKro, Vameis Yelo. How do call Ovid Misa? It's the one who dug it to the final depth of 10 Tvachim. First guy did 9 Tvachim, but that wasn't enough to kill it. So therefore, it must be that the one who dug the final depth to make it 10 Tvachim, he's the one that is going to be Chayim. Because it says, Vameisi Elo, the one who caused the Misa. Now the Gemara says, wait a second. Bahai, Vameisi Elo, we need that. I need that for a different din. I need that for the din of Rabba. What is the din of Rabba? The Yom HaRabba, Rabba said, Shor Psuleh Mukdashim Shinofal Abar. If you have a shor that used to be a carbon, and then it got a mum, and therefore it was redeemed, and now it's called Psuleh Mukdashim. So it no longer has the full kedusha that an animal that is hektish has, but there's still many restrictions on this. You're not allowed to sell it in a number of different ways. You have to go and shecht it. You can't work with it. So there are a number of different dinim that still apply to psula mukdashim. So a shor that's psula mukdashim, shenof al labar, that falls into a bar, is potter. A shor of hektish that falls into the bar is potter because of, we had re'ehu, shor re'ehu v'meis, and hektish is not re'ehu. So Robert adds that this din of not being hektish involved in the dinim of Negicha by Ishar also is applicable to Psule HaMukdashim as well. And therefore, Shor Psule HaMukdashim, Shinof HaLabar, is in fact going to be Potter. And this is based upon Shinema HaMeis Yelo, B'mish HaMeis Shelo, only if you can get the mace. In other words, if it belongs to you. But here, by Psule HaMukdashim, it won't belong to you. And therefore, this din doesn't apply to the Psule HaMukdashim. That's why Rava says we need this Pasuk. So, therefore, we don't have it available to teach Hameisi Elo, to teach us that it goes to the second person. So the Gemara says, no, it can teach us both. Amrei, v'lav mimeila, shamas mina, v'bahau de'ovid miso askinah. No, you can really learn both from over here, because it's logical, basically, to say that the mace, the one who caused the misa, should go get it. So you can really use this drasha really for both, because one is really logical, and the drasha is really just supporting it, and the other one is really needed for the real drasha. I think that's the way to understand this. That lav mimeila v'chulei, Rashi says, klomar, tarte shamas mine. You can learn both of them from over here, because one is really logic, and we're using the pasuk to help support it, because normally you don't learn two things in one pasuk, but here you really can. Okay. Now the Gemara brings down the following brisa. Tana Rabban. Echad ha-chofer bor asara. If a person digs a bor that is 10 tefachim deep, uba acher v'hishlima liyesu, and then somebody digs it another 10 tefachim deep. Tosus points out, lav dafka. He says, hu adin liyudalef, even if he just dug a little bit more. So it didn't have to be 20. But okay, we're saying that the first one dug it to 10, second one dug it to 20, and then uba acher v'hishlima liyesu. Another guy comes along and says, it's now to 30 tefachim deep. And then, if somebody goes and an animal falls in there and dies, kula chayav, they all are going to be liable for it. So that's the first brisa. But another brisa seems to disagree with this. Uriminu, we have another brisa that says, echad chofer bor asara, uba acher v'siyed v'chiyed. The first person dug the bor to 10 tefachim deep. And then another person comes along and he puts in sid, which is like plaster, and v'chiyed, and he goes and draws on the walls. Rashi says, siyed v'chiyed, shemitchila it was wider, obviously, and by plastering it, he's making more hevel. So when it was wider, and now, he went and he plastered it, so kitsaro, he's making more hevel. In other words, it's as if he dug it deeper. But here, the Braisa says, only her Achron is chayiv. In the other brisa, so we said the one who dug at 10, the one who dug at 20, the one who dug at 30, they're all chayiv. But here, we seem to be saying only the second one is chayiv. So how do you reconcile these two brises? And we turn to Nun Aleph from the base. So the Gemara says, no problem. Le moha Rebbe, moha Rabbanim. We can answer that the two brises reflect two different opinions. The first brisa, which tells us that you're going to be chayiv, that's the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe says that you could be chayiv for both, that both people could be chayiv if there was enough misa to kill in the first person digging 10 tefachim. So Rebbe would say, you're chayiv for both. Whereas the second brisa that it says, only the second one is chayiv, because that would go like the opinion of the chachamim. They'd say, no, we never combine the two. It's only the last one that would be chayiv. So Amar Zvid, Rav Zvid said, that's not a good teretz. He says, in fact, ha v'ha rabbanan, both brises could be the shita of the rabbanan. And why is that? Because ad kan lo ka'amar rabbanan achron chayev, when do the chachamim say that the last one is chayev? That's only elohecha delo ovad kamar shir misa. That's only in a case where the first one dug at 9 tefachim, so then the second one digs at the extra tefach, it's now 10 tefachim, only because of the second one, so therefore, that's why the second one is chayev. But here, in the first brisa, elohecha the ovad kamar shir misa, the first one dug at 10 tefachim. So it has a share of misa. So now when the second one digs in another 10 tefachim, and the third one digs in another 10 tefachim, afilu rabbanu modu dekulu chayavim. So even the chachamim would say that you're chayav. So both brises, in fact, could be like the chachamim. Mara says, but wait a second. V'ha siyed v'chiyed. We had said that when the second person took this board that was 10 tefachim deep, and he plastered it, so only the second person is chayav. But why is that? Because the ko'avad kamar shir misa, the first one dug at 10 tefachim, so uktani, nevertheless, achron chayiv. Why isn't this the same? That both of them had done something to it that made it capable of killing the animal. The first one dug at 10 tefachim, the second one increased the hevel. So why aren't both of them chayiv in that situation? Just like in the brisa that we brought down, where one dug at 10 tefachim, another dug at another 10 tefachim, another dug at another 10 tefachim, all three of them are going to be chayiv. So here, why don't we say both of them chayiv? The one who dug at 10 tefachim, and then the one who plastered it. So the Gemara says no, because here it's different. Amre, hasam shelo yobo hevel lemisa. In the first situation, he dug it 10 tefachim, but it was wide, and there wasn't enough hevel to go and cause misa. But then the second guy comes along, bo acher v'hosif bo hevel lemisa. He plastered it, and now there's hevel there. So it's really only the second one that made it incapable of killing the animal. The first one, it was too wide, and it couldn't cause the death of the animal. So this is analogous to one digging at 9 tefachim, and one digging at an initial tefach. Only the second one is chayim. So to here, one dug at 10 tefachim, but it didn't have the capability of having hevel there because it was too wide. Now, the second guy plastered it, so he narrowed it, and now this hevel, only the second guy is going to be chayim. That's one way to reconcile the two brises, that they both could go according to the opinion of the chachamim. Or alternatively, Ika the Amri, some said that Rav Zvid came along and said, Amr Zvid, Hav Ha Rebbe. Both brises fit in with the opinion of Rebbe. And the first brise, Hachta Tani Kul Chayavim Shapri, that works out very well because Rebbe says that when they each contributed, so then they're each going to be Chayim. So the first one did till 10, the second one did another 10, the third one did another 10. That was simple to say that that could be like Rebbe. I, the second brisa with the 10 tefachim and then the plasterer, hadik tani achron chayav, why is that? Kigon shelo hayav ohevel lo lemisa velo nizakin. That this was so wide, so even though it was 10 tefachim deep, but it was not going to go and have the capability of causing an animal not only to die, but not even to be hurt because of the hevel. There was no hevel there, it's a wide pit. And then the second person comes along to add enough hevel by narrowing it, by plastering it, that it could both kill and damage. And that's why in the second brisa, even Rebbe agrees that only the second person is going to be held culpable. Only he's going to have to pay, and not the first person, because the first person didn't essentially do anything. If the second person hadn't come along, it didn't have the potential to do misa or damage. And it's only when the second person did it, he essentially made it capable of causing damage and even killing the animal. That's why only the second person is chayiv. So the second way to understand Rav Zvid is that he says both brises are like the opinion of Rebbe. The first way was both brises are in accord with the opinion of the Rabbanan. Second way is that both brises are opinion with Rebbe. In any event, there's no stira over here between the brises. Well, continues and says, Omer Rava. Rava tells us, Hiniach Evin al Piyah Bor, Vishlim al Yasara. What happens if you had a bar that was 9 tefachim deep, and then a guy built a row of stones all around it, so now from the top of the stones until the bottom, it's now 10 tefachim. So what do we say? Is that going to be chayiv or not? So Rava says, this is the machlokas, Bonu machlokas, Rebbe Rabbanan. Did they both contribute or not? So Rebbe says they both contributed, and the Rabbanim say, no, they both don't contribute. Now, Pshita, this is obvious. Why would you think that there should be anything different than the nine and then digging down to a tenth tefach? Why should that be any different than it was nine tefach and you're building it up one tefach? So Mora says, no, Rabbi was being mechadish something over here. You know what I would say on my own? Lemata hu dahav lo didei kokotulei. When the first person dug it nine tefachim and the second person digs down one additional tefach, that's where all the hevel is. And therefore, it's the second person that's really causing the death over here. But in our case, you might have thought, avolamala, if you're just adding a row of stones around this nine tefach deep ditch or pit, he's not adding the hevel on the top. The hevel at the bottom is now going to be destructive. So you might have said in this situation, aim a low. Maybe the guy that adds on the stones over here would not be liable, not according to Rebbe or according to the Chachamim. So Kamash Vulon, the Chiddush of Rava is that yes, in fact, this guy is going to be chayev. And it will depend upon the machlokas of Rebbe or the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, only the second guy would be chayiv, and according to Rebbe, both of them would be chayiv for nezek. Now, Rava asks the question, boy, Rava, what happens if it was tam tefach? A person who dug the tenth tefach, the second guy that came along, it was nine tefachim deep, he then dug the tenth tefach, and he would be chayiv if he just left it, but then he fills in what he dug. So he makes it back to being nine tefachim. Tam tefach, he filled in that last tefach that he had dug, the silik avonim, or that row of stones that he had put around the top of the bar, he took them away. So now it's back to nine tefachim. So what's the halacha? Mahu? Do we say, mi aminun, mai de ovad shakle, that he essentially removed what he did, whether he dug it one tefach deeper and then filled it in, or he put the stones there and then he took the stones away. Bottom line is, it's the same nine tefachim that it was before he did his action, so therefore he shouldn't be liable at all. Or do we say, no, odilva? Once he dug it that one tefach deep, or he put up the stones, he's essentially removed the first person from there. Nistalku maisa rishon. And now it's as if he did the entire thing. So he can't totally undo it by just undoing the one tefach that he dug down deeper, or the one tefach of stones that he put around it. So therefore, according to that opinion, he can't undo it. So therefore, take it. We're left with no answer to this question of Rava. Gemara continues and tells us, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Shmuel Bar Marta. Rabba Bar Chana says, Shmuel Bar Marta, if you have a bar of Shmona, you have a bar that is 8 tefachim deep, but it has water at the bottom. Umehen Shnei Tefachim Mayim. 2 of these 8 tefachim are water. And now an animal falls in there and it dies. So the statement for Rabba Bar Chana in the name of Shmuel Bar Marta is Chayev. The one who dug this has to pay for the animal that fell into this bar. Why? My time. What's the reasoning? Because he tells us, called tefach de maya, every one tefach of water is the equivalent kitrei de abosh adami. It's the equivalent of 2 of dry ground, of air, because the water creates more hevel. So therefore, the 8 tefachim of which the bottom 2 are water, they count like they were 4. They're double in value. So therefore, it's as if you have 10 tefachim here in all. That's the statement that he made. On this, they ask the following shaila, Yibaylu, they ask the base medrash. What happens then if you have bor tisha, if its bor is 9, but the bottom one is a tefach of water? What do we say here? Is it the same or not? Mahu, do we say, that's not a lot of water, and therefore, less behavla, it really doesn't add that much hevel. So it's still going to be 9, not going to make it into 2, it's only going to be 1. So therefore, it's only 9 tefachim deep. Or do we say, no, that Dilma, kiven the Amik Tvei is Behavla. No, the bottom line is that this, if it was 8 tefachim with 2 of water, it will create hevel. So certainly 9 with only 1 will also create additional hevel, and therefore we'll also have 10. That's not answered. And the word says, what about if it did 7? Bar Shiva umehen shlosh tefachim mayim. The other way, it was only 7 tefachim deep, but it has 3 tefachim of water. Do we double the 3 tefachim? And therefore, it would be the equivalent of 10. It would be the bottom 3 plus the top 4, the bottom 3 are doubled, so that's 6 plus the top 4, that makes it 10. Or do we say, no, it's not? Mahu. Again, mi amrinu kiva dinafishi mayim tvei is behavlo, since you have more water over here, so it's more hevel. And therefore, it's like you have 10 tefachim. Or do we say, no, oduma, kiva dilo amka, less behavlo. It's not deep enough to really have this hevel. Okay, there's 3 tefachim of water, but it's not deep enough altogether to make the hevel. And the Gemara doesn't answer either of these two questions, the din of 9 with 1 of water, or 7 with 3 of water, and take it. We leave that as the boya, the low, if she don't like. Now the Gemara asks, "Boy, mi Rav Shizvi mi Rabba." Rav Shizvi asks Rabba the following question: "Hirchiva mahu? If there was a pit there already, but the person didn't make it deeper, but he made it wider, so that allows the air to circulate better. So he's removing hevel. But on the other hand, he's making it wider, so it's more likely that an animal will fall into it. So which one of these two is the more important factor?" That's what Rav Shizvi is really asking to Rabba. And Rabba answers, "Amar Rabba, Amar Lei." Rabba says to Rav Shizvi, "Hare miyet hadla." He's, in fact, making the air circulate better by widening the ditch, and therefore, he is not going to be chayev. And as Rashi says, not only is he not going to be chayev, hirchiva, in this situation, he's doing everyone a favor. And therefore, it's actually yashikayach to him. We say in this situation, v'tovo lo bracha, Rashi says. He did a good thing by widening the pit. That's what Rabba tells Rav Shizvi. Rav Shizvi says, what about the other aspect? On the way, Rabba, no, harikiri v'zeka. The pit's wider now, so it's more likely that an animal will fall into it. Why aren't you concerned about that? So therefore, El Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, let's try to figure this out ourselves. Next thing I'm not. What is the answer over here? If an animal were to fall down in there and die because of the hevel, of the bad air, the noxious fumes that are over there, so then, hare miyit hevla. So then he's done a good thing by making it wider and allowing it to circulate because he's diminishing the hevel. However, but if the animal's dying because it fell down, so then, hare kir hezeka, by making the bar wider, so it's making it more likely that the animal will fall down into the bar. So therefore, harikir hezeka. So let's look at the facts. Was it the animal dying because of the hevel? Well, then he's made less hevel, so that's a good thing. Or if the animal died because it fell into the hole, well, he made it more likely to fall into the hole, that's a bad thing. So we have to look and see what the facts are. Ika the Amre, alternatively, Ravashi said as follows. Om Ravashi, now let's check it out. We can see which side the animal fell in on. Was it on the side that was widened? So then, he did a bad thing. He caused it to fall in because it fell in on the side that he widened it. So then, in that situation, he should be chayev. However, but if the animal didn't fall in from the side that he widened it, it fell in on the other side, so that wasn't any change. And all he did in that situation was diminish the hevel by making it air circulate better, so that's a good thing that he did, and therefore he would not be chayv. Itmar Gemara says, Barsha omka kirachva, if you have a pit which is exactly as wide as it is deep. So that's a machlokas. Rabba Rav Yosef, Dami Tavayu, Mishmei, the Rabba Barachana, that Rabba and Rav Yosef, they both said in the name of Rabba Barachana, who said the Omar, Mishmei, the Rav Amani, he said in the name of Amani that there's the following machlokas. Either Rabba or Rav Yosef, we don't know which one, Chad Omar, one of them said, La'olam Yesh Bo Hevel. So there is Hevel over here. Ache Roch Bo Yosef Al Omka. If you have more in the width then in the depth, so then it's not going to have hevel. But if it's 50-50, you will have hevel. The other one said, V'chadamar, l'olam ein ba hevel, ashi omko yosu arachwa. He says, no, it's going to have hevel unless you have the depth greater than the width. But if it's 50-50, you are going to have hevel. So therefore, these two statements that were made are arguing on what's the case of 50-50. And that's the only place they have machlokes, where the width is greater than the depth, so then there's no concern. If the depth is greater than the width, there is a concern. And it's only when it's 50-50 is it a machlokas. Then we quote our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Avra lava rishon v'lochiso, if the first person came by and he didn't cover it up, so then the second person comes by and doesn't cover it up, it's only the second one. That's the gear so that we had. The second one is going to be chayv. The rishon me'emas miftah. So why is the first person potter? So the Gemara is giving us two answers right now. Rabbi Yosef, they both said, the Amr Tavayu Mishmei the Rabbi Baruchana, the Omer Mishmei the Ramani, again, the same Mandi Omer is over here. So we have two opinions. Chadamar, one of them, we don't know if it was Rabbi or Rav Yosef, he said, Mishemenicho, when the first one was using the well water over here, the water from this reservoir, so when he gave it over to the other person to use, so Mishtamis, the second person starts to use it. That's why the first person is not chayav, because the second person is using it. He can't close it up right now. So therefore, he's entrusting it to the second person. And the other one said, Chadamar, Mishimso lo doyo. Now, doyo normally means the bucket that you're filling it up with. And that's how some of the Rishonim understand this. But Rashi understands this over here. It means the bar's cover. So it means when he gives him the cover to the bar. Mishim shelo doyo, Rashi says that means when he gives him the cover, in that situation, he is no longer going to be held accountable. The other guy, the second guy, is going to be held accountable. Now, Kitanoi. And this is, in fact, a machlokes tanoim, as we learn in the following brisa. Hamadla mayim in a bor. If somebody is drawing up water from a bor, and there's two people that are partners over here. Ubo chaveru v'armelo hanachli v'ani edlemayim. The second partner comes along and says, okay, you've had enough. Let me draw the water now. So, kivon she'inicho mishtamish potter. As soon as the first one leaves, and he allows the second person to go and use the well, so then the first person is going to be potter, and if something falls in and something's not covered up, then the second person will be chayiv. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov omer, no, it's mishayimsor lo doyo. It's when he gives him over the manhole cover. He gives him over the kisui over here. At that moment in time, he's going to be chayiv. Now, what are these two Tanoic opinions arguing about? So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov sovar yesh breira. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that there is a concept over here of breira. Hai mididei komimale, v'hai mididei komimale. Each of them is drawing the water from their own, so to say, portion of the well. And only in retrospect do you know that he drew his water and the other one drew his water. So the second person, when he draws up the water, he is drawing up his water. And therefore, he's not taking any responsibility for the other guy's water because of the principle of Breira. So therefore, he's only responsible for his own water, which is what he picks up. The other guy is still responsible for his water. In other words, each of them is still responsible for the well. So therefore, this pit in the ground, so therefore, each of them is drawing their own water, so each of them is only taking responsibility to watch their, so to say, part of the well, part of the bar. And therefore, according to Elazar ben Yaakov, until he gives over the actual cover to the other guy to cover it up, then the second guy is going to be chayiv if he doesn't cover it up. The first guy will not be chayiv in that situation. But until then, they're both going to be chayiv. Whereas the opinion of the Chachamim, the Rabban and Sabri ain't brayer. They don't hold it as brayer. So therefore, each of them, when he's giving the other guy to go and fill up, the guy is watching everything. So when you let him start filling it up, so he's watching everything there, he's responsible for the entire bor. Abu Ravina, Ravina says we have the exact same machlokes, the Ozul Tamayu, the Chachamim, Rav and Yaakov, have the same machlokes in the following Mishnah. This is the Mishnah that we learned in the Darim, which tells us as follows. Hashutrim shenodru hanoah zemizeh. You have two shutrim that each one said, I'm not going to get hanoah from you. They make a nether, I'm not going to get hanoah from you. So then, asur likonis l'charetzah. Neither of them can go into the chatzah that they own together because they're going to benefit from the other person's property. So that's the opinion of the Chachamim, that there is no brayer. We don't say this is retrospectively mine, that's retrospectively yours, and therefore I'm benefiting from yours. We owe them both together. So therefore, you can't go into the yard. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees. He says, since they retroactively are now showing that this is mine and that's yours, so there's brayer, so therefore they're not over the nether. So with my commitment, what are they arguing about? Like I just said, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov saw yesh breira. And therefore, each of them are going into their own part of the yard. They're not getting benefit from the other guy. However, the Chachamim disagreed. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov ain't breira. So the exact same machlokes that we have over here in regards to the person drawing up the water from this bar, same machlokes there in using the yard. Do you hold breira or do you not hold breira? Mark continues and says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hamocher Bar Lechaveru, if you sell your bar to your friend, Kivin Shumasal Odoyav Kana, the act of kinyan over here is when you give him over the manhole cover. At that moment, he has acquired this bar. Someone says, what are we talking about? Hechidami. Iba Kasva, if you're talking about buying it with money, so let the money buy it. Lichnei Kasva. If you're telling me Iba Chazaka, you make some sort of a kinyan on it by a Chazaka, so Lichnei Iba Chazaka. What is the handing over of the bar's cover, of the manhole cover, how does that make a kinyan? What does Rabbi Elazar say? So the Gemara says, Li'olam b'chazaka. We're talking here that he actually made a kinyan. And it's not the actual taking of the manhole cover that makes a kinyan. But what happened over here? A person, when he sells this bar, so what would he do? Uboil a name or lay. He has to go tell the other person, let's finalize the deal. Lake chazei kukni. Go make a kinyan in the bar. Now, v'kivin shemosel odoyav, when he gives him over the manhole cover, it's the equivalent of saying, kiman di omar lay, le chazei kukni, Dami. It's exactly as if he said, go and make a kinyan on it. So it's not the giving over the manual cover that does it, but it's giving over the manual cover that tells him, go make a kinyan. And now he'll acquire it at that moment in time. Similarly, Amar Rishum Levi. Rishum Levi said, Hamocher Bayis Chaveru. The person sells to his friend a house, and we turn to Nun Beis Amar Aleph. So as soon as he gives him the key, Kiva Shemazel Amateach Kona, that's when the guy gets it. Now, what type of kinyan is that? Hechidami. Iba kasef, if he's buying the house with kasef, so likne b'kasef. If he's buying the house with chazaka, iba chazaka, likne b'chazaka. What are you talking about with the key? So again, similar to what we just said before, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, La'olim b'chazaka, is telling him to make a chazaka by giving him the key. U'boy le'meimalei, it's as if he said to him, Le'chazek u'kni, now make a chazaka and you'll acquire the house. So to Aviyah, v'kiv v'shamos l'mavtech, when he gives him over the mavtech, the key, it's as if he said, Command Amalei, Le'chazek u'kni domi. It's as if he said, go and make a kinyan. Let's go to the Mishnah already. Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rivyana, Reish Lakish, the name of Rivyana, Yamoche, Eder Lechaveru. If you go selling your animals to your friend, your flock, your Eder to your friend, Kivishim Wasalo, Mashkuchis Kona. As soon as you hand over something which will draw the entire flock to him, so then that's the Kinyan. What exactly is this Mashkuchis? So, Hechidami, what are we talking about? Ibi Mashicha, if it's a Kinyan Mashicha, so then, Likni Mashicha. You say Kona with the Kinyan Mashicha. If you're talking about by handing it over, so look in Vesira. What's this big kona over here? Kivish Moslo Mashkuchis kona. What is that talking about? So Gemara says it's actually Rish Lakish is saying that this is a Kenyan Mashicha, the old Mashicha. Who boil a may malay, and he has to tell him, Lech Mashoku Kni, go make a Kenyan on it. Go do this Kenyan Mashicha. And the Kivan, the Moslo Mashkuchis, when he gives him over this Mashkuchis, which he still haven't explained what it is, we'll explain in a moment, Kiman the Amalei, it's as if he said to him, Lech Mishochu Kni Dami. Exactly like Rabbi Shuvan Levi said, and exactly like Rabbi Loza said before him. So this is also the same thing Reish Lakish is telling us. Okay, now the Gemara just concludes and says, My Mashkuchis, what exactly is this Mashkuchis that will draw the entire Eder after him? So, Hocha Tergumu Karkasht. Here, Hocha means here in Babel, they explain this to be Karkashta. That's a bell. That's like the shepherds would have some sort of a bell that they would attract the animals to come with them. So it's a bell. That's what they said in Babel. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, however, Rabbi Yaakov said, Iza the Asla Bereish Edra. This is the goat that walks at the head of all the animals and it leads all the other animals. So when you give over that goat, all the animals will come, all the flock comes. That's the Kenyan. Kididoresh, and this is the way they learned how Gililah, a leader of Chista. This is the way a certain person from the Galil learned this in front of Rechista. The Mefarshim, Shor Mitzvah Balach, and others say that this Galila was the Maturgamen of Rechista. In any event, he said, Kad Rogiz Raya Al Ona, when a shepherd is angry with his Eder, with his flock, Ovid Lignogoda Samusa, he goes and he blinds the goat that leads them, and that will make them all not be able to go follow. As Rashi says, you go and blind le'ez hamushkis. You take this ez that's leading them, menakreni, you pluck out its eyes, unichshalis, it's going to go tumble, the nofelis, the boros, and fall into various pits. The eder achrab, they're going to all follow along afterwards. And Rashi then adds, he says, this is the same thing. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and finally takes retribution from those that are Sonny Yisrael, they do terrible things to the Jewish people. So then, this is referring over here, Rashi says, talking about the Parnasim, Shenim Ugadim, people that aren't appropriate to run the Tzibur. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will eventually take retribution against them, just like the person who's the flock's not following, when we go blinds the eyes of the lead goat. So that's this expression that we have over here. This is a good break point. Yitzhak Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go and take retribution against all the people of Nebuch that are harming Klai Yisrael. Hashem should take a swift and speedy nekoma against them. With this, we conclude today's shir.